going to hold this because I'm a little short. Our scripture reading for today is from 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, we come before you this morning and we just thank you for the fact that you are good. We thank you for the fact that you are ever present in our life. We thank you for the fact that you are wise and full of grace, which is balanced by your justice. Lord, we just thank you for all these things. Lord, we just thank you for the fact that we can come together as a body of Christ to worship together in song and in your word. And Lord, we just pray this morning that as the children leave, that you would provide a place for them to be able to hear your word clearly, to be able to allow them to grow in their understanding of you in a greater way, so that it's not just information, but it's life-altering, it's heart-changing, and that these children would grow older and more wise and be able to go into our world and to share about who you are and the truth of what you've done in their life. Lord, we also pray for us this morning. We pray that we would be able to come together this morning and that we would be able to set aside the distractions of what's been taking place in our life. Maybe we didn't sleep well last night. Maybe there's many things that are vying for our attention, either health or family or just life stuff. Lord, we just pray that you would allow us to set it aside and allow us to have ears to hear and the ability to comprehend and understand what you have for us this morning. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen. Wow, they left quietly this morning. Normally they run on out of here. Well, this morning we are going to continue our study on the attributes of God. We've been looking at the different attributes for months now, and it's been a wonderful series of seeing who God is and how his attributes are uniquely distinct, but also very much intertwined together. We can look at each attribute and see how they have a certain role in who the character of God is, but I still think it's amazing and something that it's important for us to understand that we just can't silo them off as separate individual things. The wrath of God is so interconnected with the love of God. The judgment is so interconnected with his grace. His goodness is interconnected with his mercy and his faithfulness. And so this morning, we are going to continue our study and look at the faithfulness of God. The idea that God is faithful, this is something that many of us have said and heard repeatedly. God is faithful. Trust in his faithfulness. You know that the Lord is faithful. And I think for all of us here this morning, we would state that we believe in that statement. I mean, think about it. We sang songs about how much we trust him, how we lean into who he is because we place our trust in him. But I have a question for us this morning. How true can we make that statement? That the Lord is faithful. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think that all of us in this room would say, yes, I believe that God is faithful. But what happens when life gets difficult? What happens when we enter into seasons of life where things don't go according to the way we think they should? What happens when we get the news through a phone call or a text message that just throws us for a loop? What happens when these seasons begin to stretch out longer and longer than what we think they should? In the moments when we're in our bedrooms and we're quiet and we're wrestling with these moments and these seasons of life, do we still say that God is faithful? Now, I think for myself and for many of us here, we would. But I think there is still, we have to be honest, there's an aspect to this statement to recognize that there is a little bit of a struggle that begins to take place. God, are you actually faithful in this season? Are you actually going to provide what you promised? Will you fulfill your promises, O Lord? I don't see you right now. What is taking place? You see, I think if we're honest, we all struggle a little bit with the fact that is God truly faithful in every aspect of our life. Just recently, I was listening to a sermon, and a pastor who was preaching made a statement. He said, each and every year, he has discovered that he kind of trusts people a little less. So let me rephrase that because I didn't say it well. Each and every year, he has discovered that he trusts people a little less than what he did the year before. And I paused for a moment and asked myself, I said, am I doing the same thing as what was just said? And I began to realize that in many ways, yes, I'm trusting people a little less each and every year. It's not the same as my six-year-old who walks up to people with great, big smile on his face and says, hey, who are you? And let's get to know each other. But I think the reality is as life happens, it begins to chip away at our trust. We were lied to. Where promises are broken. People disappoint us. Things hurt. And out of a desire to protect ourselves, we begin to withdraw. We begin to be a little bit more guarded. We begin to protect ourselves. And that reality begins to translate into our view of the world. We begin to see that humanity is broken. And it's something that we all know. Again, as my six-year-old says, when he talks about things that don't go according to plan, yes, we all live in a broken world. But the reality is that's something that we face. And if we're honest with ourselves, we begin to protect ourselves. We begin to plan for the worst in things. Why? Not because we're pessimistic or skeptical, not because we're jaded, or maybe for some of us we might be a little jaded, but the point being is that's not the case. What the reality is we've been all burnt by life in certain ways, and it begins to chip away at how we view the world. I'm not trying to make us feel bad, but I'm trying to paint a picture of what we have and what we deal with. And as it addresses and as it affects our families and our relationships with others, we begin to see it in our life. And then sadly, it begins to move into our relationship with God. It begins to creep into our relationship with God. And we start to treat him deep down inside like, will he actually be faithful in this moment? Will he actually provide in this season that's so difficult? I've cried out to him. Is his promises worthy to be trusted? Can I trust him? Will he be faithful? But the reality is we have to remember that when we look at the scriptures and we look at God's word, which we all believe is true, everything that's been written in it, we read multiple times how God is faithful, how he's provided for his people. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, Moses states, he says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant, steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This beautiful verse highlights some amazing things here. Know therefore the Lord your God is God. There's no other God. This is the only God that you have. And he, God, is faithful. Because why? He keeps his covenants. And he's steadfast in love with those who love him. What a beautiful verse that is. Now, you know me by now. You know that I love Greek and Hebrew. You know that I find words interesting, and I love to look at them. And one thing that I found amazing is the word for faithful here. In Hebrew, the word for faithful means to prop up or to support. What a beautiful picture that gives. The Lord our God is God. He is faithful enough that he will prop up everything. He will support his covenants. He will support his promises. This is the picture of faithfulness. God is stable. unlike everyone else in this world who maybe even tries to be faithful, we will fail someone no matter how hard we try. But our God is faithful. And he's faithful enough that we can lean our whole weight of our life upon him because he can support us and he will prop up everything that he promises. With this understanding this morning, I hope that we can take this into our context of the passage that we have. Our passage this morning is found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is a wonderful letter written to Timothy by Paul. And what's interesting about this moment is Timothy is having a moment of doubt. There's a moment of fear that's taking place in Timothy's life. Why is Timothy afraid? Well, it's because Paul, his spiritual, earthly father, in many ways, is about to be executed. Paul is writing Timothy from Rome. He is bound in chains, and from everything that we can understand, he is about to face the executioner by the Emperor Nero. His execution is about to take place. And Timothy is reeling from this understanding. The mentor that I love so dearly, the person that called me and said that he sees me like his own son, is about to be executed. What do I do with this? Why? Why was Paul about to be executed? Was it because he did something wrong? No. It was because he was obedient to the Lord to preach the gospel. The same exact thing that Timothy is seeking to do currently. And I don't know about you, but I can understand and catch a little bit of a glimpse, an understanding of why Timothy actually might be very scared and upset. The fact that he's going and saying, this is what obedience to the Lord means, then what is God really faithful? Will he really provide? Will he hold to his promises? The person that I've looked up to, the person that has treated me like a father, is about to be executed. Not because he did something wrong, but because he did something that God's called him to do. He's in chains, about to die. But what's amazing is Paul understands this and understands that Timothy is wrestling with fear and with doubt in this moment. And he writes this letter in 2 Timothy. And you can read, when you read this, you read the fatherly love that Paul is writing into this letter. It's a letter to encourage Timothy. It's a letter to encourage his faith. It's a letter to build him up and to help him see that God is trustworthy, that God is faithful. This is why we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, he says to Timothy, God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Paul is saying to Timothy in this moment, listen, Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't let your fear rule you. Trust in the Lord. Remember what he's given you. Trust in the fact that he has given you the Holy Spirit to be with you, a spirit that is greater than fear, and is full of power and love and self-control. But Paul doesn't stop there. He continues on into chapter 2 and the verses that we read this morning. In chapter 2, he shares a poem with Paul. Paul shares a poem with Timothy. And this poem, for many scholars, what they believe is this is actually, it could be a poem, but they also believe that it was actually potentially a song that was sung with the early church when they would gather together. So this is a really well-known poem that was stated. And Paul says this in verses 11 through 13. The saying is trustworthy, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What is amazing here to me is that Paul is writing this not from comfort, this poem and this letter to Timothy. He's writing it from chains. He's facing his death. Life, honestly, is not going according to his plans. Paul has always wanted to go to Rome, but he didn't want to go to Rome in chains, but he's in chains. He's been put in jail. But yet his confidence isn't shaken. He still knows and sees that God is faithful. This is why he's able to write a few verses earlier in verses 8 through 10 when he says, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory." Do we hear it? Paul's body might actually, physical body might actually be in chains, but his faith isn't. The word of God isn't bound. His circumstances may look hopeless, but God is still faithful, Paul is saying. And this is the thing that I think we all have to understand. See, the struggle that we run into, there's a misconception that we run into in our day and life. It's something that's been kind of taught to us in some aspects, and I don't think it's been intentional, but it's something that our culture in America kind of lends to. It's the fact that God's faithfulness is not determined by our circumstances. God's faithfulness is not determined by our circumstances. See, this is the hardest aspects of understanding the faithfulness of God. This idea that we hold to, this common misconception that kind of bleeds into our walk and our culture, is the fact that for God to be faithful, then everything in life should work out perfectly. Now, maybe some of us here would say, no, I don't expect it to be perfect, but I want it to be without as little suffering as possible. Because that seems to be what God is trying to show us. That's what we think that God is trying to tell us. For him to be faithful, it means life is easy. But the reality is when we look at 2 Timothy, what do we see here? Do we see that life is easy for Paul? Do we see that life is easy for Timothy? No, we see that Paul is about to be executed. He's writing to Timothy without understanding. And what does he say? He doesn't say with bitterness, "I endure everything for the sake of the elect." No, he says it with the fact that he is willing, if not passionate, to suffer for the sake of others so that they will follow Christ. I mean, wow, that's a mind change for us. You see, again, this misconception that we kind of hold on to in our Western society is the fact that it points to this deeper heart issue. It's the idea that when life doesn't go the way we thought it would, when our plans fall apart, when obedience costs us something because God asked us to do it, and it's easy for us to start to think that God's faithfulness rises and falls based on what our circumstances look like. So we'll stand here and say God is faithful when life is going according to plan, when we have enough money in our bank account, when we have good health, when we have good family relationships, when things are going the way we think they should go. It's easy for us to say that God is faithful. But the struggle that we run into is this mindset of the fact that when it falls down to the lower areas, when life doesn't go the way we thought, when the Lord said, "Hey, I want you to take a leap of faith to follow me," and we do it, but it doesn't work out the way that we think in our minds that it was supposed to work out, we begin to have this moment where we begin to question, "God, are you actually faithful in this? What are you doing, Lord? Why is this taking place?" See, Paul's life reminds us that it's something deeper. God's faithfulness isn't determined by what we see. It isn't dictated by whether life is easy or hard. God's faithfulness is grounded in his character. God isn't faithful sometimes. He's faithful always. It's because of who he is. and nothing can change it. Now, I don't want to make us feel like we're unique and completely separated out and, oh, woe is us, we've got it all wrong, because one thing that we have to understand is that for centuries, people have struggled with this understanding, struggled with the fact and question, is God faithful in every aspect of my life? I mean, think about it. Let's go back to the people of Israel. If we look back at the story of the Israelites, many times they cried out to the Lord, are you faithful, God? This is why we resonate so well with the Psalms. The Psalms are a beautiful laments written all throughout the ages of how people were crying out to the Lord saying, God, what is going on? I don't understand. And it moves this beautiful moment of crying out to the Lord, where are you, God? Are you faithful? To God, you are the most powerful and worthy to be praised. But there's one psalm that's very unique and interesting. It's Psalm 89. Psalm 89 is very interesting because it starts out bleak. It continues into the middle, bleak. And it ends, bleak. There's no resolution. There's no crying out to the Lord and then honoring God. The whole psalm focuses on the fact of God. Where are you? Are you faithful? Will you remain faithful to your promises? Can I trust in you? The psalmist cries out. Will you listen to your people? Will you provide a king for them? We are in captivity. What is happening? Why is this taking place? But you see, here's the hope, and here's the amazing bit. Psalm 89's answer doesn't take place actually in the psalm. The actual answer for what the psalmist is writing and crying out actually is answered in the first couple chapters of the gospel. The psalmist in 89 is crying out, Lord, where is our king? Give us a king, Lord. Why are you not following through on your promises, O God? You promised us a king so that we would be a great nation, that we would have someone to bring us into a new life. What is going on? And God did provide them a new king. He provided them a king that was an everlasting king. He provided them a king that wasn't like David or Solomon or all the other kings of the old that were good and bad. Why? Because they were fallible humans. He provided a king that would change the whole story. God kept his promises. He was faithful. And it's hard sometimes for us to see we're in the middle of our circumstances. See, what we have to understand is Paul's chains don't cancel God's faithfulness. Psalm 89's bleak cry doesn't cancel God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness doesn't disappear when life gets hard. His promises don't run out when our circumstances don't make sense. His faithfulness is rooted, it's steady, unshakable, and eternal because it is who he is. But here's the good news. In addition to this, God's faithfulness doesn't just hold firm when life is hard. It also holds firm when we are the ones that fail as well. God's faithful even when we are faithless. That's why the end of the poem is so powerful. Verse 13 states, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I hope we're able to see it. I hope that we can understand that our actions don't change God. For some of us here today, we maybe feel that we've messed up so badly, that we've been so faithless, that there's no hope left for our relationship with him. But listen again to what the words of the Lord says. He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Now this morning I want to say, as I was studying and reading, and I read the end of verse 13, the end of this poem, I was reminded of a story found within the Bible. It's the story of a minor prophet. This minor prophet's name is Hosea. It's one that for many of us, we are maybe familiar with, but we haven't read his story often. Hosea was asked by God to do something extremely difficult. He was asked to marry a woman named Gomer, a woman of ill repute, a woman who was not faithful and lived and chose to live a life of unfaithfulness. Now, I do need to be clear here so we understand that there was a horrible practice that took place in this day and age where women were either forced into prostitution because of slavery or destitution. It was the only way that they could make a living, or they were forced into it against their will. But the book of Hosea seems to point to the understanding that Gomer did not fit into either of those two categories. Gomer fit into the category of the fact that she chose this life. She sought it out. She preferred it. And the text even suggests that the fact that she chose it out and preferred it so much that even after she was married to Hosea, she chose to leave him and go back to that life because that's what she preferred to do. She walked away. She abandoned him. She chose to be faithless. But here's the question. What does Hosea do? He chose to remain faithful still. What's interesting is we get to chapter 3 in the book, and at that moment we see this picture that Gomer has fallen so far that she is actually being sold in what was understood as an auction. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Her life is reduced to the lowest shame. Her worth is diminished to a discounted price of 15 shekels and some grain. No one wants her. She's broken, used, unwanted. And just when it seems, honestly, that her story is over, a voice cuts through the crowd and says, "I'll buy her. I'll buy her because she's my wife. I'm still faithful to her, even when she's been faithless to me." And who was it? It was Hosea, the very man that she betrayed. He steps forward and he pays the price for her. He doesn't buy her back, though, to humiliate her. He doesn't buy her back to shame her. He buys her back to love her, to restore her, to make her his wife again. Do we see the picture here? Hosea's story, like the faithfulness of God, that's what God does for his people. That's what he did for the people of Israel. The Israelites ran after other gods. They broke the covenant again and again and again, yet God still remained faithful to them. Faithful to them to the point that he sent his only son to die for them and for us. And that's what he does for us as well. Because I think if we're a little honest with ourselves, we've all been a little bit like Gomer at times. We've all wondered. We've all chosen other loves. We've all been faithless. But yet, God still remained faithful to us. You see, in Christ, Christ stepped forward and he paid our price. It wasn't 15 shekels and a little bit of grain this time. It was his actual blood that he shed on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross to pay for us, to buy us back, saying, "You are mine and I will make you new again." This is why John writes in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did you hear that? God is faithful and just. God's forgiveness isn't based on how strong our faith is. It's based on how faithful he is. This is the heart of the gospel. When we are at our lowest, broken, used up, unwanted, God didn't walk away. He came for us. He bought us. And he brought us back home. But more than that, he didn't just bring us back home. He made us new again. And then when that took place, he said, "You're now my child, adopted into my family, and you can have access to my inheritance." What a beautiful that picture is. Why would God do that? Because God is faithful. He's always been faithful, and he will continue to be for the rest of eternity. The question is, though, can we trust in his promises? Do we truly believe God's faithful in his promises? It's sometimes hard, but when we look at Scripture, we see that we can, because he's always fulfilled them. Even when it's hard, even when it's costly, even, hear this, even when it takes longer than we think it should or would prefer it to, God is still faithful. Think about it. Noah had to trust that God was faithful when God asked him to build an ark, when there was no rain and people mocked him. Abraham had to trust that God was faithful when he was called to leave his people and head to the promised land, when he was told that he would make his family a great nation and he had no children, when he finally had a son and God said, "Take your only son and go up on the mountain and sacrifice him." Abraham had to trust that God was still faithful to his promises. Moses had to trust that God was faithful, even when he didn't want to lead, believing that God would equip him with everything that he needed. And finally, Paul had to trust that God was faithful, even unto his death, which allows him to make statements like we read in Philippians, to live as Christ and to die as gain, or like what we read this morning in 2 Timothy, If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. You see, God's promises are good, and he's worthy to be trusted because he is faithful. He does answer and complete and fulfill his promises. But this doesn't mean that we won't face hardships. And this doesn't also mean that when we do face hardships and they go longer than we think that they should, if they go in a different direction than we think that they should go, it doesn't mean that God stopped being faithful. What it does mean is exactly what we've read repeatedly, that he is faithful because he can't deny himself. So what does this mean for us today? How do we apply the idea that God is faithful to our lives this morning? Well, some of you here this morning might feel that you've been so faithless, that you don't deserve the love of God. You've wandered, you've failed, you've broken promises, and you wonder if God could ever love you and take you back again. But hear me. He remains faithful. His love has not run out, and his arms are still open, and he is calling you back to himself today. For others, maybe you're wandering through the fire right now. You're walking in it, and it's difficult. Life has beaten you down. The diagnosis that you have received, the financial pressures that you're facing, the family tensions that are constantly ever present in your life, it feels so overwhelming, and you're tired of waiting, and you've started to wonder, like Timothy, is God really worthy of your trust? because it seems like he's not active. It seems like he's not providing. It's like he's not keeping his promises. But listen, he remains faithful. His promises are not on hold. His word is not broken, and his character hasn't changed. We have to trust that he is active and present in our lives, providing for what we need in the moment. Maybe it doesn't feel and seem like it's the way that we think it should, but he always provides what we need and allows us to be able to face every circumstance that we face. And finally, for some, the truth is you've been holding God at arm's distance. You've been bracing yourself for disappointment, living a guarded life because you don't want to get your hopes up. But listen, with God, you don't have to guard your heart like that. You can lean the full weight of your life on him. Because why? Because he supports what he says. He will take your life and he will bear it because he is faithful. This is what makes verse 13, again, so powerful. When we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. This means that our failures don't rewrite his character. Our weaknesses don't cancel his promises. Our doubts don't diminish his power. God is faithful because faithfulness is who he is. A.W. Tozer once wrote, and I love how he says this, "The faithfulness of God is a datum of sound theology, but to the believer, it becomes far more than that. It passes through the process of our understanding and then goes on to become much more important. It becomes nourishing food for our soul." Nourishing food for our soul. How is this the case? Because when we face things in life and we struggle with what's going on around us, when we look at the situations that we have, maybe it's the fact that we're facing an illness that can't be shaken. Maybe we're dealing with a life situation that seems impossible to bear. We look at our situations and we wonder, what is happening? Why is this so difficult? But God's faithfulness to his promises become nourishing food for our soul. There's a promise that I love, that I hold to. It's found in Revelation 21. It says this, Revelation 21, verse 1, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.'" This promise in Revelations is a promise that I hold on to, because this is a promise that the Lord will fulfill. This is a promise that makes me excited. Does this not excite us? Because in life we face many hardships and struggles. Not trying to throw my mother under the bus, but I have a mother that is a loving woman and I love her dearly. But what's been hard for me at times is the fact that she has dealt with sickness and health complications for as long as I can remember. And it's hard. Because I have to ask myself, God, are you faithful in this? Where are you in this? Why is this occurring? Why are these hardships taking place? And then I read Revelation 21. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning or crying, nor pain or anything or any more, for the former things have passed away. That is a promise that we can hold on to. That is a promise that when life gets difficult, when things are hard, when we don't understand and we don't can't comprehend why are things taking place, this is a promise that God has given. This is a promise that we can put our trust in. These are some of just one promise that God has given to us. But these are amazing truths that we can hold dear. So when life becomes hard, when things become difficult, God is calling us to look to his word and see his promises and trust and know that what he says is true because he's shown repeatedly throughout all history that he fulfills his promises because he's faithful. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you this morning and we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for the fact that when life feels difficult, when things become hard, when our circumstances seem bleak, and we feel like we resonate more with the psalmist in Psalm 89, we can put our hope and our trust in you because we know that you will fulfill your promises, that you will answer our cries, that you will give us everything that we need as we face hardships. Lord, I pray that as this morning, that for any of us here, that if we feel like we have failed so much, that we have failed so far, that we will never be able to come back to you, Lord, I pray that you would work in those hearts and help them to understand that you have never left them nor forsaken them, and you've remained faithful. For those of us that are wading through hardships, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see your promises, remember your promises, and hold on tightly to them because you've never failed us. You've never not answered them. You've never not fulfilled those promises. And for those of us that have been beaten down by this life that we've lived, and we've begun to hold you at a distance because we don't want to become disappointed, Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts to know that you are calling us to trust you. Not trust you with a little, but to trust you with every aspect of who we are. Lord, we just pray this in your name. Amen.